Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
You know, whenever Jesus was present, the uncommon happened. The unusual occurred and the unbelievable transpired when he was present. Jesus, when he spoke, nothing became something, as it did in creation. And when he prayed, little became much. Yes, when he commanded, the seas silenced and the winds hushed when Jesus prayed. And when he ordained, the angels sang or roosters crowed at the midnight hour. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Kemp, for that. And we're praying for his mother. His mother was in the hospital this past week. Bless her heart, Sister Kemp. And as I was visiting her, she still had that gleam in her eyes. Those of you who know Sister Kemp, a woman of faith, she acted like she was at home kicking back on a sofa. Because that's because she's a woman of faith. And her children were there visiting her. And then in walks Pastor Kemp, her son. So let's keep her in prayer, Sister Kemp, as she recuperates, as well as our other sick and shut-in members who are not here with us. Well, I want you to remember the things that I preach about. You know, preachers, we like preaching, but we like for you to remember what we said. You know, because preaching is not just for the moment. You know, some people get all excited about the moment. You know, you know, all that. But when they go outside, Pastor Wilcox, they forget all about what we say. And we're glad to have Pastor Wilcox here. Amen. Amen. Sight for sore eyes. Amen. Good to see you. I call you pastor. I know you're a nurse, but you're still a pastor. Amen. And we respect that. Amen. So, last Sabbath, we talked about... Yeah, uh-huh. And what was the name of that period of time? The millennium. Somebody was listening. That period, that, how many years is a millennium? 1,000 years. Where is the saints going to spend the millennium at? In heaven. All right, somebody been listening? All right, and what are we going to be doing while we're in heaven 1,000 years? Yes, Sister Cheadle knows. Amen. And then the Sabbath before that, we talked about heaven. So we're going to be reviewing a lot of the themes and the truths that we have learned in this church here at Southside. We're going to be revisiting those main themes, biblical themes that we have been taught. But today we're going to just take a little side trip. I didn't have my slides ready today. But we're going to just talk about a little bit different topic today. And I want to thank our Elder Rupert for reading our text. Yeah, we're going to just visit that. Visit that a little while today. Some of you know where I'm going already. That's funny, huh? Okay. We want to turn to Exodus, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to take some liberty and read this in from the Message Bible. I like how plain it is. Exodus 16, 1 through 3. On the 15th day of the second month after they had left Egypt, the whole company of Israel moved on from Elim to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. The whole company of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron there in the wilderness. The Israelites said, "Why didn't God let us die in the comfort of Egypt, where we had lamb stew and all the bread we can eat? You've brought us out into this wilderness to starve us to death, the whole company of Israel." The whole company of Israel. Now let's turn over to Romans. Used to hear a lot of pages turning back in the day, but I know some of you are high tech. You have your phones and pads and those things. It's okay. Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's read, and again, I'm going to read from the Message Bible. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us is no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny in the hands of sin and death. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son, Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. Hallelujah. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. Could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Amen. This morning, our topic is your eyes are on Canaan, but your mind is in Egypt. Let's pray. Father God, send your Spirit here to make the message clear. May these words that are coming out of my mouth be acceptable to you, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm glad that you have responded, learning the things we have learned here at Southside. Your eyes are on Canaan, but your mind is in Egypt. You know, as I continue to grow and mature in this life and in the Lord, I've discovered that in order to achieve success or attain a goal, that you've got to have your mind fixed. And whenever you're planning a brighter tomorrow, you've got to anticipate there's going to be many pitfalls and potholes that you have to encounter on the way. Especially being a Christian, you're going to run into persecution. We were talking this week, me and the good chaplain here, about the Christian journey. You are going to have to go through something. And it's just a fact. You're going to go through some persecution. You are. So don't run from it. You know, the American dream is wonderful, but we are called out of this world into the marvelous light. And we are going to go through persecution. The higher the hill upon which you plan to build your castle, the harder the climb is to reach the top. And to reach the top, you have to have your mind set and your mind focused. We're living in a time now where you can't even believe the things you see. And this is a problem with the Israelites, and that's what the story is about. This text in Exodus informs us that Israel was in the wilderness on their way to Canaan. But they had begun to face some very bitter experiences along the way. The ghost of hunger and thirst had raised their heads and frightened them. They were frightened to the extent that they began to think about all the times when they used to sit by the flesh pots of Egypt and sing and eat. They became discouraged before they had hardly gotten started on their journey. They had been on the road only for a few days, but a few miles from Sinai, just a few miles from Sinai. But yet, because they had missed a meal or two, they wanted to go back to the slave camps of Egypt. God had broken the chains and pulled a liquid gap out of a belching sea for the right of way. And God had caused the wind to dry up a path, exchanging that slushy mud for drifting dust, protecting their trampling feet. And yet they wanted to go back to make brick from mud balls, just to eat again from the flesh pots. They wanted to sell their future for a bite to eat. Seeing that freedom was quite a costly venture, they feared to pay the price. But yet, they had their eyes on Canaan, but their minds were on Egypt. They looked one way and thought another. They talked freedom, but thought slavery. They started out watching God as he
beckoned them through the clouds by day and the fire by night, but at the same time they held on to Pharaoh's hand. Canaan and Egypt were in the same valley, but in extreme opposite directions. To reach one, you had to turn your back on the other. To think about Egypt, their minds would have had to trek across the burning desert sand where the jackals hide and bark. To think about Egypt, they would have to go back across the sea where slime and slavery hold sway. But to think of Canaan, their minds would have to be lifted up amidst the hills, amidst the twine and ben, among the cedars and the whispering pines. Canaan or Egypt? These were two great places in the affection of these people. One was the cradle of the race, and the other was the hope for the future. Shackles in one, songs in the other. Freedom in Canaan, slavery in Egypt. They were halted between the call of chains and the call of wings. Chains to hold them to their past, but wings to lift them to new heights. Chains of slavery are wings of freedom. Both places pointed in different directions. They were at opposite ends of the journey. And when the test came, Israel dared to face it. She would rather go back into bondage than to pay the price of victory. Folks, no matter how hard it gets, and it's going to get even harder, the Bible says that eyes have not seen, nor have ears heard, the things that God has prepared for us. Whenever you're going through difficulties, just think about heaven. Think about eternity. Trade your 70, 80 years in on eternity. It starts here. Getting your mind out of the shackles. You know, so many times we act like the children of Israel, and we would rather go back into the bondage of the enemy than to the fight for the victory. So many times we'd rather settle for the muck and the mire of mediocrity. Come on, than to strive for the pursuit and possession of the promised land. So many times in the body of Christ, we can't reach Canaan because we're simply too busy thinking about Egypt. Eyes are on Canaan, but our minds are on Egypt. And how can we break this cycle? How can we as a church get off the treadmill of life and progress in the things of God? How can we focus our minds as well as our eyes on the Canaan experience of our lives? How do we reach the individual promised lands of our lives without being detoured by the enemy? Well, here the text, I believe, brings out a few things we can do. Number one, we can change our focus. The text states, as soon as they hit the highway, they begin to murmur about the leader. It's coming. Saying, we wish that we would have died by the hand of God in the land of Egypt. At least we would have had our stomach full. And you know, it's funny how we constantly live in the past. We constantly talk about how things used to be. Oh, when Pastor so-and-so was here. I know. Because I've been a member too, so don't think I'm stupid. I know. Oh, he did this.
we did this. Sabbath school was this. Sabbath school was that. Constantly living in the past. And memories are good sometimes. But you cannot progress by living in the past. We could never move forward if we keep looking backwards. Every time the Lord tries to take us to the next level, we stand there looking over our shoulder in retrospect, contemplating the past, just like Israel. How many times have the Lord spoke to you about moving or changing jobs or going back to school or a business venture, a new spiritual level? And as you begin that, to move in that direction, you encounter roadblocks that the enemy has designed to delay and deter and to detain and discourage and derail your progression. And instead of trusting in the one who gave you the ability to move in the first place, you suddenly get a case of coulda, woulda, shouldas. I could have, I should have, if I only would have. Change is difficult. I know change is difficult. I was 40 years old when I went back into ministry. See, this is my testimony. I know God is able. I know he's able. I'm a living witness he's able. I'm a living testimony he's able. God is able. Took me back to school at age 40. Paved the way for me. Was it rough? Yes, it was rough. Left my comfortable environment there. Yes, it was rough. Looking at the faces of relatives and friends, doubting what I'm doing. Yes, it was rough. But I know he's able. Did I run into roadblocks? Yes. Did I get a call immediately after finishing? No, Brother Wilcock. 4 or 5 years, still didn't get a call. And when I got a call, I had to move back to California and move in a trailer. I lived in a trailer 1 year. And I tell you, you got to love somebody dearly to live in a trailer with them. That's another whole sermon right there. You start loving each other more, or you start hating each other. And we loved each other more. Change. You have to change your focus. Change your focus. Israel was so concerned with eating from the flesh pots of Pharaoh that they were willing to give up an entire land flowing with milk and honey. Likewise, we get so caught up in the yesterdays that we can never get to our tomorrows. The Lord has so much to offer us. So much to offer us. Eternal happiness, peace, eternal life. If we would just turn our minds as well as our hearts to him. If we would just stop allowing the enemy to convince us to return to the things that God has already brought us out of. God has already delivered you from chasing women. But you're still walking around thinking you Mac Daddy, holding on to your black book, hiding it somewhere. God has already delivered you from gossiping, yet you're still
trying to get up in everybody else's business, stirring up trouble. God has already delivered you from debt, but you're still robbing Peter to pay Paul. Some of us are still living from paycheck to paycheck. Why? Because your mind has not accepted the fact that God has brought you out. So you continue to long for what you left in Egypt. This Christian journey is going to be a rough one. Get ready. Get ready. And until you change your focus, you will never be able to enter God's promised land. The word says that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our what? Our minds. If we just thought differently. Some of y'all could be healed if you just, Ellen White says a statement in Minister of Healing, that many people would be healed if they just thought so. Isn't that something? Just if you just thought so. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not until we start really believing that God has delivered us. Start believing in our financial blessings that God wants for us. Oh, he wants us to have the very best. Start believing that you can be a spiritual success. You can have good health, better health. You can have salvation. You can have a stronger faith. You can have a grateful heart if you just thought so. You know, the Israelites were really good when it came to complaining. But when God responded in a favorable way to their numerous complaints by helping them, they didn't stop to thank him. And this is another problem they had. They did not thank him. They were experts at complaining, but they were complete failures when it came to expressing their gratitude. You know, there's some of us are missing blessings because we're just not grateful enough. We just don't thank the Lord enough for what he's done for us. Psalms 50, verse 23. Turn with me to Psalms 50. Psalms 50, verse 33. I just wanted you to, I could have read it, but I want you to turn there. The scriptures, the Bible makes it clear that gratitude is something that God places a very high premium on. 50, verse 23, God told King David, he says, the sacrifice that honors me is what? A thankful heart. This is God said, the sacrifice that honors me is a thankful heart. And both the Old and the New Testament talk about gratitude that we should have. David wrote, tell the Lord how thankful you are because he is kind and always merciful. The Lord is my God. I will praise him and tell him how thankful I am. Psalms 118 verses 1 and verse 28. And even in the New Testament, Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 3 and 4, you are God's people, so do not let it be said that any of you are immoral, indecent, or greedy. Instead, say how thankful you are. And in Colossians, he wrote again, let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Some of us might receive healing if we just start thanking the Lord and being grateful for what God has done for us. If you have a church family, praise the Lord.
I run into people all the time who just don't have a home, don't have relatives, don't have a church family to go to. Some don't have food, don't have shelter. Some people don't mind going to jail because at least in jail, you get a meal, you get medical care, dental care. It's getting to the point now where brothers don't even mind going to jail. Yeah, it's that hard out there. People don't mind going in the hospitals. Ran into a person the other day who didn't want to be discharged. He wasn't ready to be discharged. They were feeding him every three meals a day, clean sheets, changing him, going to that bathroom there, private room. We have a lot to be thankful for. Gratitude. God places a high premium on gratitude. We often hear comments in our Sabbath school class, or we hear sermons about the sin of ingratitude. And that's in the Bible, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 and 4. Paul presented a lengthy list of all sorts of sins. And during that discussion in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 and 4, Paul said that some people were lovers of themselves, which these are last day events. We're beginning to see that more and more now. Narcissism is what they call it. Just look on Facebook. Facebook, get it? Nothing but, well, I don't want to. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. That's in Paul's list. Ungrateful, the sins of ingratitude. God has every right to expect us to be grateful to him because he truly is. He is truly, like the song says, the fount of every blessing. James puts it another way. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And remember in the Old Testament, talking about a grateful heart, 2 Chronicles 32, 24 through 25, God, how he dealt with Hezekiah. The Bible says, 2 Chronicles 32, 24 to 25, about this same time, Hezekiah got sick. Remember that? And he almost died. He prayed, and the Lord gave him a sign that he would recover. Remember that? But Hezekiah was so proud that he refused to thank the Lord for everything he had done for him. So proud. And look what happened. This made the Lord angry. And he punished Hezekiah and the people of Judah and Jerusalem just because he was so ungrateful. Anytime we do something that makes the Lord mad, we know we're doing something wrong. And what did Hezekiah do that made the Lord angry? He refused to express appropriate gratitude for what God had done for him. By you refusing to admit how good God is, to take your mind off of your problems and just give God and have a grateful spirit about you, we should learn a lesson from Hezekiah's mistake. Learn a lesson. You know, there are benefits to bragging on God and telling people how good God is. It encourages others when people hear us bragging on God, how good he is. It gives them hope. And it glorifies him. I think we should have more bragging on God parties rather than Tupperware parties. Let's have a brag on God party. stay focused. Here's another issue they had. They didn't have faith in those appointed over them. You know, God does not just haphazardly appoint leaders. God put me here. You know, and pastoring, there's very few churches where pastors will go and get 100% participation. And we know that. If you get 60% of the folk that like you, you're doing good. But God places ministers in churches. You may have to tolerate them for a few years, but God put them there. He's going to do something with them. And we have to have faith in those who God appoints over us. He considers his people. He considered Southside before he brought me here. That's why I need you to pray for me, church. I can't do this job without your prayers. And without the help of my wife. You think I'm doing this by myself? Putting up with all y'all? Somebody need to lift the pastor up in prayer every now and then. Amen? Get on your knees in the morning and lift my name. Call my name out. Come on now, Alan. I can't do this by myself. Y'all too much for me. Somebody better lift me up here, Deacon. Faith in those who appointed over you. Remember Moses? Moses didn't volunteer for that job. He was he was appointed. He was chosen. Moses and God chooses people who people really think are not qualified. See, that those are the ones God likes. The very Moses couldn't hardly talk. Moses couldn't hardly talk. You couldn't even understand what he was saying. He could talk about God called him. We would have called him. We would have talked about him because he couldn't talk. He calls the least people we think could pastor a church. He calls them. I didn't have no intentions of becoming a pastor. I was fine being a physical therapist. Made good money. Couple of cars and come on now. I was just as happy as can be. This is a calling. Shh. Paycheck is looking different. You know, look at my paycheck. I'm saying, what? Do I need to get my license again or what? God calls his leaders to proclaim his word and lead his people. Moses couldn't even speak clear, but God chose him to lead the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. You know, so many times we want to pick the leaders based on their stature or what we see with the naked eye. But God looks at the person's heart. Remember when the Lord sent Samuel to anoint a king? Remember that after Israel rejected Saul? He looked at all of Jesse's sons. But it wasn't until he saw David. The Lord told him which one was to be anointed king. Little David boy, shepherd boy. He looks on the inside. Tell somebody next to you, it's what's on the inside that counts. Yeah, it's on the inside that counts. I don't care what you look like. I don't care how tall you are and how handsome you are. Have confidence in who God has chosen. And then move and operate in the blessings and the favors of the Lord. That means to have the accessibility of God's presence and take advantage of God's Holy Spirit power and availability of His promises in His Word. Having God's Spirit with you at all times, there's so much power, so much that God wants to do with us. If we just ask for His presence, stop thinking about Egypt and keep your eyes on Canaan. Move forward. Stop looking one way and thinking another way. If we're going to make it into Canaan, I hear Paul saying that we've got to forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are before us and do what? Press toward the mark. Come on, church, press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Got to get in that press. You know, basketball players have a thing where they get in the press. When you get in that press, you'll find out that Jesus is in the midst. Jesus is in the midst. Get into the press. Well, Southside, I'm going to wrap it up. But I want to encourage you, set your mind on things above and not the things of this earth. Prepare for a rough ride, but Jesus is going to be with you every step of the way. Things are going to get worse, not better. Things are going to get worse. Some people teach that the world's going to get better. Oh, yeah. Some people teach that the world's going to get better. But things are going to get worse. But God has promised us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He says, I'll send my angels to protect you. He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Didn't He say that? He promised that. So when things start getting rough, some of you are going to lose your job, some of you are going to lose your houses, some of you are going to lose all your stuff. Oh, that's what that is, just stuff anyway. Set your mind on things above, Southside, and not the things of this earth. Keep your eyes on Canaan, and Canaan means heaven. Take your eyes off of Egypt. Some of you are longing to have things you used to have in the world. And I hear people all the time saying, Pastor Mackey, you know, when I got baptized, it just seems like things just got rough. Do you think the devil's just going to sit there and let you have a spiritual party, high time, and just let you enjoy life spiritually? He going to try to cut your throat. He does not like you. This is a being that he don't like you. He just don't like you. He don't like the way you look. He don't like the way you smell. You know, he don't like you. He hates you. And you can't see him. You can't even see this person that hates you. That's why we need God. We need prayer. We need the Holy Ghost. We need His angels around us. We're dealing with a person that hates our guts and we can't even see him.
A person that works through people, gets inside of people and works against you. You can't even see them. That's why you need God. You shouldn't wake up and walk out of your door in the morning without a prayer, a covering prayer over you. You shouldn't walk out of your front door dealing with an invisible, powerful being that hates your guts. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be with us at all times, surrounded. We need to be covered in prayer at our jobs. We need to be covered in prayer. People, there are people out that won't like you. They just won't. They're full of the devil. I'll say it. And they don't like you because you're a Christian. You haven't done a thing to them. You ever run into somebody like that? You haven't done anything to them. And they don't like you. They just don't like you. I don't like you. You're going to run into a lot of people like that. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. The government will turn against us. I'm telling you, I'm going to preach a sermon on the time of trouble, such as never before. We used to hear those sermons. Here I go talking about the past. We used to hear those, sir, the time of trouble is a-coming. You want to be ready for it. So the Bible says, set your mind on things above. If people call you crazy, so be it. When I was not in the church, they called me crazy. So I don't care. You want to call me crazy? Nah, that's fine. Crazy for Jesus. Hallelujah. Crazy for Jesus. Set your mind on things above. All right. We're going to end now, church. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. I've said enough. Lord, you've given me what to say, and I've tried to say it. You've given us examples in your word of the children of Israel, Lord, who you tried to teach and lead through the desert, Lord, but they turned their backs, they murmured and complained. Lord, help us not to be like that. Help us to trust you fully. Help us to trust the leadership that you put in place. Help us to walk according to your word, Lord. And press toward the mark, forgetting those things that are in the past. Oh, give us the ability to forget those things, Lord. We've come here today. Many of us have come in here, Lord. We've come in here with so much baggage. We got so much baggage, Lord, that we're dragging with us all over the place. It's garbage, it's all spilling all over the place, Lord. Oh, God, help us to leave it there with you. Leave it there with you, Lord. You know what to do with that garbage and that baggage. Forgetting those things that are in the past. So, Lord, release us now. Release us from that baggage. I'm going to take mine off today. Taking it off. Tired of it. Some of us today are just dragging around this garbage bag. Keep your eyes closed, heads bowed. Somebody might have a garbage bag just dragging it around, stinking. Dragging around everywhere we go, stuff spilling out. We need to get rid of that stuff. Get rid of that baggage. Help us to release it today, Lord. There's somebody here. Pray, church. Is there somebody here? Got some baggage you need to get rid of? You need the prayer warriors to pray. God is waiting there with the scissors to clip that bag off. He wants to drop that stuff off in your life. The baggage of problems, the baggage of gossip, the baggage of doubt, the baggage of worry,
the baggage of habits, the baggage of criticism, the baggage of demon possession, the baggage of bad health. He wants to drop all that stuff off today, and he can do it. If there one today, I invite you to come down. Just come down. We want to pray for you. I want to pray that God releases you. Releases you. You know, one of the best words in the Bible is deliverance. And that's what Southside should be about. It should be a big sign. Deliverance inside. Should be a big sign out there. Deliverance inside. Lord, deliver us. You need prayer. If you need prayer, I want you to come down and have a seat here. We'll pray with you. The prayer warriors will come over and pray with you. If you need prayer for deliverance, you need prayer for deliverance, come on down and sit right here. I'll be here with you. I need prayer too. Come on down, and we're going to have a prayer of deliverance today. Pray, church. Lord, deliver us. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver us from that baggage, Lord. Deliver us. Somebody in here need to be delivered. Come on down. I'm here. I'm here. I'm not too good. I'm not too good. Come on down. Come on down. We want to just fill up this pew here. Those who need to be delivered right now. Come on down. You know what your problem is. I don't have to call it out. Come on down and be delivered. Lord is waiting here. He's waiting here to deliver you. Drop the garbage off. Don't leave this church with that garbage on your back. Don't leave this church with that garbage hanging on your back. Drop it off here. Come on down. Come on down. Come on. Some of you have little tiny little bags. You don't have a big bag, but you have a little bag of garbage. Come on. Bring it down too. Bring it down too. Some of you, you can't even see your garbage, but bring it down too. You've been hiding your garbage for a long time, but you stink. Because every time you go around somebody, they smell it. Come on, somebody. I smell it on you. I can't see it. Come on down. Bring it down. Bring your garbage down. We're going to have a prayer of deliverance. Brother Willis, come on. Prayer warriors. We're going to have a prayer of deliverance. Come on down, church. Bring your little garbage, your little stinky garbage down. Come on. And let God deliver you. Why are you holding on to this stuff? Let him deliver you. It's free. Don't leave this church stinking, okay? Drop it off right down here. Drop it off here. People tired of your baggage. You carry it everywhere you go. You carry it to work with you. You carry it to the store with you. You carry it to church. Drop it off. Drop it off right here. Drop it off. Prayer warriors. Is there one more? Come on down and be delivered. There's no power in Pastor Mackey. The power is in the Holy Ghost. The power is in God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Not too late. Come on down. Thank you, Jesus, for deliverance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Jesus. Church, would you pray along with them, church? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're good, God. You're grateful, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You have a loved one you want to intercede for. Maybe you have somebody who is in jail or in the hospital. You want to intercede through you. They're depending on you to pray for them. Come on down here. Come on down and intercede for somebody. Intercede for a loved one, a relative. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Deliver us from this mess, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit is telling me just to tarry just a little while longer. Just a little while longer. You can leave here free of worry today. You can leave here with peace and joy if you drop that stuff off. Thank you, Jesus, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is there one more who wants to join this prayer warrior band over here? Is there one more? Is there one more? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we've done what you told us to do, Lord. Your word will not come back void. There's power in your word. There's power in your blood. And we thank you, God. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you, dear Jesus, for setting us free. Starting with our minds, setting our minds free. Now, Lord, help us to claim it, take it, believe it, live it. That we're free indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.